The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
But first, it was another turbulent week in the banking sector following the collapse 8 days ago of America's 16th largest lender, Silicon Valley Bank. 2 days later, New York's Signature Bank also failed, and closer to home in Europe on Wednesday, the embattled Credit Suisse received a liquidity lifeline from the Swiss National Bank. While the uncertainty in the banking sector was reflected in a jumpiness in the financial markets on Thursday, the European Central Bank pushed ahead with another half-point interest rate hike, the sixth since July, raising its main refinancing rate to 3.5%. To discuss the implications of all this, I'm joined now in studio by the former governor of the central bank here, Patrick Honohan. You're very welcome to the programme. I suppose, first of all, in relation to the interest rate hike, there had been this turbulence in the markets, but the ECB was always going to go ahead with that 0.5%. The question is, what did we glean from what they might do next?
Yeah, they said they almost promised that they'd have a 50 basis point, half percentage point increase in March. So the question was, news out of California, was that going to derail that decision? And you can imagine the discussions saying, well, if we change our plan, that'll make people think that we really think things are seriously badly wrong. So I'd say that was part of the story, to let's stay with the message. This 50 basis points, but what about the 50 basis points after that? Because many of the people in the governing council had been saying, this is not the end. They had measured increases in interest rates. We don't hear that from them now. It's more like, well, we're going to do this 50 basis points. It's in the bag. But for future increases, it's a wait and see. It's wait and see in particular what happens to financial stability considerations.
How should we interpret that? Is that really saying we're not going to be in such a rush? We will be if we have to be, but we may well take our foot off the pedal in terms of the pace of things.
I think it does mean that. I think it strengthens the hand of people. And there are doves in the governing council who've been saying, wait a minute, we're going too fast. Maybe we don't need to do this at all. Now they've got the deposit rate up to 3%. Their prospective inflation rate over the next 12 months, a little over 3%. It's not positive real interest rate, but it's getting close there. It's not as far out of line as it was a year ago. You could imagine them slowing or pausing, maybe not going any further. The likelihood is they will go further, but not probably as much further as we thought a couple of weeks ago.
Did they get this wrong in the sense that they misjudged the seriousness of the inflationary pressures? And inflation, putting up interest rates, it's a bit like steering a car. When you're driving along, if it starts to move a little bit towards the ditch, you make a small correction early and everything is fine. The longer you leave it, the more you have to turn the steering wheel and the more quickly you have to react.
Well, that is the fear of the people who want early action. It's people who want to say, look, we were at minus 0.5%. We should have been moving up to the 3 or the 4% very quickly. That's their fear. There's not much evidence that that sort of second round momentum has been building up on inflation. So it's always a risk. It's not clear that that has materialized yet. So I think the jury is still out on whether the cautious people were right or not. They were right to say the increase in prices due to the end of the pandemic, the war, etc. We have to see through that. We can't claw back that rise in prices. They were right on that. Whether they were right on saying the momentum will not really build up, we can keep this under control, that's remains unclear.
When we look at the banks, you know, Silicon Valley Bank depositors have got a bailout in a sense that the deposits have been guaranteed. Credit Suisse has got assistance now from the Swiss National Bank. I see there on the front page of the Financial Times, the value of global bank stocks has fallen by $460 billion after what someone described a week of madness. Should we be worried about our banks?
Funny thing is about high interest rates, usually very good for banks, unless they've been messing around and doing silly things. And Silicon Valley Bank certainly was doing that. It's an extraordinary last few years for Silicon Valley Bank. It had deposits flooding into it. Its size increased, you know, multiplied by 3 in just a few years. And where do they put all that money? they put all that money in long-term government bonds. And what happened to those long-term government bonds? They went down in price because interest rates went up. Now, so that was a sort of egregious example of mismanagement of the liquidity that you have. Are the Irish banks doing that? Of course, they're holding some government bonds, but as a proportion of their total assets, much, much smaller. So that particular problem, not facing the Irish banks. And the other dimension of the Irish banks, they will benefit from high interest rates because they're not paying any. They charge more to the customer. They're not giving so much of an increase on the deposit.
But is there a danger here as well, though, Patrick, that people are watching out for the things that caused the last bank crisis? And we say, oh, no, when we look at our banks and we look at other banks in Europe, those metrics, they're all fine. And if you go back to it, the trigger the last time was, you know, for example, subprime mortgages in the United States had collapsed. So people were able to say, no, Irish banks, our banks aren't exposed to them. So we don't have a problem. But it was when other banks ran out of money that they were lending to other banks in the wholesale market that the problem arose. So is there an interest rate problem here, for example, that the higher interest rates go, there will be loan defaults and there will be problems. And that might be where the problem is.
You know, you're absolutely right. Everybody says this time it's different, and they say it in boom times, but it also happens in bust times. The bust usually comes in a slightly different way than the previous one, and you've been looking out one window and the problem's coming from another window. Are there going to be loan pressures on the Irish banks? When the pandemic came, all of the Irish banks increased their loan loss reserves, thinking, this pandemic is going to cause a lot of defaults. They didn't have it, and they've been saying, OK, we can release those reserves. Will there be problems in the coming year? The way I think about it is the Irish banks, they are behaving differently than they were in the past. They're not in the go-getter mode that they were they're back a little bit to this sort of sleepy old days, reluctant to make loans, very cautious about what they're doing. So I can't see where that big shock is coming from. It doesn't mean there mightn't be one.
What about the issue of the American state stepping in with Silicon Valley Bank and guaranteeing all of those deposits? Deposits that were held in some cases by very wealthy tech companies, in other cases by growing small tech firms. It's back into that sort of moral hazard where basically things go wrong in banking and the state or the taxpayer ends up being on the hook.
It's a bit of a shambles, really, the reaction in the United States. Look, after the global financial crisis, a lot of work went into designing mechanisms for dealing with banks that suddenly get a problem. Resolution is the term for it. And all large banks are supposed to be a kind of prepackaged arrangement. If they get into trouble, here's what we're going to do. A, B, C. The depositors will be all right unless they're very big depositors. Bondholders, they'll be required to have large blocks of bondholders who can be bailed in. The Americans in 2018, Trump administration, they introduced new legislation saying, that's very important, but we're not going to apply it to banks below $250 billion US dollars in total asset value. And guess what? SVB Bank, the Silicon Valley Bank, just under the $250 billion. So they didn't have the mechanisms that had been agreed internationally, and they're in force in Europe to deal with this.
So
they had to cobble together a solution on the hoof.
You would make a distinction then between where broadly American banks are at and where European banks are at. I mean, Larry Fink, the head of BlackRock Asset Management, they manage $8 trillion of money for people. He talked about a slow rolling crisis in US banking, where he thinks a lot of other regional or smaller lenders will get into trouble.
Well, we've seen, even over the past 10 days, we've seen several banks, one by one, people say, oh, what about this bank? What about that bank? So there have been about four banks in quite big trouble. And then under the radar, a larger number of banks that you can look at the statistics of what they hold, and probably they're in difficulties too. But the US authorities have the resources to deal with that situation. The problem is that those resources are being applied, as you mentioned, in some cases to very gifts to very wealthy people. And after the last financial crisis, the idea that the Wall Street, the big ticket players of Wall Street were being bailed out, whereas the plain person was suffering, that really contributed to the Tea Party, the rise of Trump, the polarization of American politics.
Although in this instance, they are bailing out what might be smaller sized tech companies, you know, looking
to make
the next monthly paycheck or whatever. Yeah. And they're not bailing out the shareholders, and they're not bailing out the bondholders.
They're not bailing out the shareholders, and I hope they're not bailing out the bondholders. Those are relatively small parts of Silicon Valley Bank. So just to say, depositors, that's all right. But if you have a deposit of 50 million or 300 million in the bank, are you somebody that, you know, the government should be applying limited fiscal resources to bail out? Not clear.
So when it comes to this banking crisis and, you know, having 460 billion wiped off global banks' values in a week, you know, is not good. But you're not worried. Do you think there's anything out there that should be a cause for concern for banking in Ireland, in this part of the world?
The threats to the economy in Ireland also, you know, represent in some way threats to, not to the depositors in the banks, but to their shareholders. Why? Because a downturn in the economy affects the recoverability of assets and so forth. So the shareholders can be hit. But I don't see banking as being the source of risks in the economy. I see those risks as coming especially from the tech sector, which both directly in the employment that it provides, but also maybe even more important, the huge flow of tax revenue that's coming in from the tech sector. And that could, with a downturn in the tech globally, that could shrink very dramatically and limit the government's ability to support the economy.
Okay. And the tech sector is something we'll be returning to a little bit later in the programme. Patrick Holohan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.